This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Ecker.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Emily Boyer.
Well, McClatchy Newspapers recently emailed employees to let them know that 450 staffers across the enterprise, all aged 55 and over, would be offered early retirement. McClatchy owns 30 media properties in 14 states, including the Miami Herald, the Charlotte Observer, and the Kansas City Star. And Will, you worked for one of their newspapers in Belleville.
That's right, the Belleville News Democrat. We were under McClatchy ownership the last 10 years of the 16 years I worked there in the greater St. Louis area. And I knew all of those folks, the folks that that were on the list from the News Democrat. I had been keeping in touch with a former colleague who had shared with me, well, these are the folks who took the buyout. And you're talking about a lot of institutional knowledge at that newspaper. You're talking about a lot of people who have had 15, 20, 25 years or more of information and knowledge and experience at that newspaper. And these were journalists and ad representatives and salespeople and folks that worked the front counter all the way down that are now suddenly without work and maybe suddenly taking an early retirement that they weren't initially planning. And again, it further just undercuts and erodes this service that we're trying to provide as reporters and as newspapers when newspapers already have an uphill battle and an uphill challenge right now.
Well, and you have a CEO of that company, too, whose current contract includes a base pay of $1 million, a bonus of $1 million, and an additional $35,000 monthly stipend.
And obviously, is this a good use of resources right now, given the state that newspapers have been in for quite a few several years now? You know, we need something to help revitalize newspapers. We need to get more reporters in the newsroom, not take them away and not give CEOs bonuses and run this like a corporation.
Yeah, instead of making cuts, you know, they very well could be making investments. You have him making $35,000 a month, which could be an annual salary for a reporter. I think in 2017, he took a bonus of $900,000, which is enough to, you know, be $40,000 annual salary for like 22 reporters. So a lot of it is about where you're putting the money that you are making.
Yeah, setting your priorities. Like Emily said, you could staff an entire newsroom with the bonus he received last year. And certainly executives deserve to be compensated for their efforts. But I think you need to put some money into the product, too. And you need to compensate the people who are actually making the product possible.
Obviously, and I think there's, you know, there was terms in this contract that were supposed to reward this particular CEO for whatever reason. And I think, though, they have to look in hindsight because I think newspapers are trying to maintain appearances and they maintain operations. And at a time where they're cutting back and they're just cutting to the bone and they can't, you know, they can't pair off anymore and cut anymore. You know, I think they have to use some much better, more wiser business practices than this because it just looks like really that McClatchy is not really really putting in the investment they need to in their product, and they're really taking away from these communities that they're supposed to serve. These 28, 29 newspapers, these 30 communities are suffering because of this, and they're taking away these folks that have this knowledge that are supposed to be passing it on to new folks that hopefully come along. And you know, this is obviously just a step backward, and it's just very questionable business practices, the very kind of business practices that good journalism investigates and exposes. And I think some of these journalists are having to step up and realize this. They know most of all, more than anyone else, that this is certainly not sound, and this is certainly defeating their purpose and defeating their cause and undercutting them.
And when you have fewer reporters, you have less content, and that means your papers are thinner, and you know you have a dip in subscriptions as well. People don't buy the paper for the advertisements; they buy it for the local news content. And so, when you're not being able to supply that, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and your profits will go down even further.
Exactly. And people need to realize this. People need to be upset about this and demand more out of their newspapers that they once did. And, you know, to say that, and I think they made the excuse that this was turning the corner, or they were making the investment into digital, you know, what kind of progress is that when you're taking away bodies out of your newsroom, when you have fewer people keeping an eye on the communities that you're covering? That certainly doesn't sound like progress to me. Certainly, maybe you might be able to operate a newspaper with fewer bodies when you're all entirely digital. But there's still a demand, at least for now. There's still a demand for print. There's still a generation, let's just say, an older generation that still wants to see that print, and even some younger people too. And they're certainly not satisfying that. They're not meeting that obligation.
I don't think it makes a difference whether it's print or digital or whatever the case might be. You need someone producing that content, someone going out and reporting stories. And if you're cutting staff, you're going to, as Emily pointed out, you're not going to be able to produce as much content. I'm sure some of the young reporters who remain with the newspaper are talented, but they could probably benefit from some mentoring from the veteran reporters. And as you mentioned, Will, the institutional knowledge mm-hmm. could also help the younger reporters, perhaps prevent them from repeating stories that have already been told.
Or adding the context for what's happening now.
Yes.
And then I think you also see, like, these papers who do these cuts, they end up turning to stringers who are paid by the article. And so there's not as much incentive for them to spend time really developing a story because, you know, if they spend an hour, they get on an article, they get paid the same if they spent 5 hours working on mm-hmm. an article. So you're almost incentivized to turn out things quickly and maybe not as well of a produced product.
And this, it's the communities yes. that are harmed eventually because they don't have that same level of news coverage, the watchdogs keeping an eye on things.
Exactly. And this has been investigated. This has been researched, and it shows there is a trend. I can't cite line and verse or which research it was, but when there aren't journalists present and when there are not enough to do the job, you know, public figures suddenly get these raises maybe they shouldn't be getting. Things are getting through the cracks that they shouldn't. And this is
or
really
even
a disservice.
Projects go up, too, because
right.
A lot of places will advertise when they're doing public bidding in the paper. And so if you don't have the wide array of competitors
right.
Putting bids in, they'll go with the one project that does apply, which could cost more.
So people are finding out the hard way, really, in this way, you know, how essential a free press and a working press and a fully staffed press, whether newspaper, broadcast, or what have you, really is, and how essential it is to their democracy and their civilization.
And I would say that, you know, these are early retirement incentive offers, so it's a voluntary program at this time. I'm not sure how good of the package it is.
Right.
If you take it, it probably isn't. But what we have seen is after these voluntary offers, it's usually mandatory layoffs when they don't get the kind of numbers they're hoping for.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.